audio version of Michael Lateman's blog. December 5th, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter December 5th, 2019. It doesn't matter to me whether I feel good or bad, I don't want to think about it. After all, if I run to the creator to hide from evil, it is egoism. But to yearn for him neglecting the good isn't right either. If we unite, that is, annul our personal egoistic desires and move to the group's desire to bestow, our foundations change. We come to faith above reason, a spiritual approach when we feel, understand, make decisions, perform actions above desire to enjoy. That is, in the spiritual world, when the world gets dull and plunges into darkness, without promising any hope or fulfillment, this is a tremendous help from the Creator. So he rips us from our reality, from this world, giving us the opportunity to work for him. The feeling that I'm doing something for the Creator gives me fuel for work. This makes me feel alive. The next moment the Creator may disconnect me, cleanse me from my desire to enjoy, and then I'll be able to work for his pleasure. This is what I will live for. The qualities of the light and the vessel are mixed within the creation. Due to the breakage, the creation acquires the qualities of the Creator. Nonetheless, it feels corrupt and broken. An unpleasant sensation comes from the feeling of being opposite to the Creator. The Creator is inside the creation, where he is revealed. Each moment a new Reshimo is revealed, a stronger desire and a greater light opposite it. So I have to bring my desire to be in balance with the light, applying even greater effort. If I don't do that, I would lose the illumination from a prior state. I'm not ready to receive the light instantly. My vessel is broken, revealing the corrupted desire and the light opposite it. There is no righteous man on earth who hasn't sinned. After each transgression, a correction, a commandment is revealed, for it is impossible to fulfill the commandment without breaking it first. The Creator is an impetus that obliges us to unite. Egoism repels us from each other, promoting greater distance. We will agree to unite when we are forced to turn to the Creator. As if our ten was locked in a tight cell, and we must look for ways to reach the Creator. I want to make a restriction for myself. It doesn't matter if I feel empty or full, I want to cling to the Creator, so that all my thoughts and desires are only about him, and all the actions are directed toward him. This is a true bestowal to the Creator above my knowledge, above the feelings in the mind and heart. To move from sensation of today's reality of this world to an upper reality, future world, from knowledge to faith above knowledge, from receiving to bestowing, is possible through exercises that awaken the light that reforms, which grants us the force of bestowal. We must unite among ourselves, in order to feel our connection as one point shared by all. In this point, we must feel desire, pain in regards to the Creator, what is called a prayer, a request to him. If the Creator did not disconnect us from the pleasures and fulfillment of this world, we would have no chance of reaching the spiritual degree. We would forever remain in slavery to Pharaoh, who would regularly pay us, and we would obediently work for this reward. This is a life in the ego. Faith above reason is a spiritual concept. A person in bestowal instead of reception prefers giving to the Creator, rather than serving his egoism. This is a calculation to benefit the Creator, not oneself. The whole science of Kabbalah is based on the principle of faith above reason, the principle of bestowal. Working without fuel, without egoistic motivation, only for the sake of the greatness of the Creator, I go to lessons, to gatherings, live in general light, try to change the pleasures in which I had an egoistic hope for a state, where I don't want the upcoming reward, but only aim to cling to the Creator each moment. Faith above knowledge is growing. I chose bestowal to reception. The grandeur of reception is imprinted in me. I know and feel how important it is to receive for myself. That's what I'm all about. I need to find a way to separate my I from myself and cling to the Creator in order to think about him instead of myself and find pleasure in it. Any overcoming in the work is an advancement in the work of the Creator. Just as a coin added to a coin makes up a large sum, so does overcoming when it reaches the necessary degree, becomes a vessel for receiving the highest pleasure. We never jump onto any degree right away, but try it first. When I think of the Creator, I feel that I'm moving in the right direction. But is the goal to do right by me, or is the main thing to give to the Creator? Such exercises allow me to advance, gradually separating from my I, and making all thoughts be about the Creator. I must rejoice at the exercises from the Creator and thank Him for them, for I can rise from this world to the spiritual world. We need to accelerate and strengthen these actions, so that each of them becomes a leap forward for us, and it all depends on our connection with the environment, with the 10. The Creator does everything to bring me back to the desire to enjoy, to the common sense that reigns on earth. But I want to adhere to the center of the 10, as if it's suspended in the air as a floating castle. This is how we form the center of the 10, by building a castle in it. A temple, the connection of Malkuth and Binah. Usually we try to overcome difficulties on our own. This is not right. The goal is to cling to the Creator. If I want to cope alone, I only increase my egoism and distance from the Creator. In any disturbance, one needs to see the means of clinging to the Creator even more, a reason to plea, a prayer. A desire becomes suitable for work upon gaining an impression from the qualities of light. This happens during breakage. Light enters desires, breaking occurs, the boundary between the desire to receive and the desire to bestow is broken, and these desires become intermixed. Losing taste in the work, we get angry and blame fate, the Creator, the science of Kabbalah, and the teacher. We don't realize that it is the loss of taste for the study and for the group that is an invitation to rise to the spiritual degree, where we work not for the sake of the material, egoistic reward, but for the contentment of the Creator. Distance from egoism. When a feeling of emptiness, weakness, hopelessness, of being lost comes, these are the states when it is possible to move from knowledge to faith above reason, to the degree of bestowal, when I decide that I will do everything for heaven for the contentment of the Creator. The main thing is to realize that the loss of taste or good attitude comes from above, from the Creator directly to a person, in order to rip him from egoism and give him certain freedom from egoistic pleasures and to let him feel independent of his personal interests. Faith above knowledge is a view on everything through unity. There is no I, only us. My foundation, but the perspective comes from our connection. My viewpoint doesn't come from my desire to enjoy, but from my desire to give to the 10. This point is called faith, the point of Binah, bestowal. The first 9 sephirot have no light till Malkuth restricts itself and raises Ohr, reflected light, and works with its evil. Then the light begins to shine in the first 9 sephirot, that is, the qualities of the Creator, in my 9 friends. When I justify my friends, pushing my ego aside, I awaken the light in them. The point of Malkuth ascended to Binah, integrated in it, observing creation from there. I integrate into the center of the 10, and see everything through the eyes of faith. The degree to which I aim to unite with my 10, to see a unity above personal interests or egoistic desire, determines the degree of my faith. From Twitter, December 5, 2019. Stretch a thread from my heart to the Creator. Everyone needs to see how they can awaken from an opposite state, to find strength, evidence, in a preparation, so that from the most distant state they can awaken themselves, and get closer to spirituality, until they begin to feel awakening and inner strength, a new life. What is important is the difference between the fall, from which we begin to awaken the desire for the Creator in ourselves, and the rise, that is, the beginning of the work and its completion, the ability to transfer ourselves from one pole to another. This means that in every state we control this point, aiming toward the Creator, striving toward Him, raising this connection point higher and higher. It is from the most distant and insignificant states, as if completely disconnected from the Creator, that one should try to awaken the aspiration in the heart and mind, to stretch a thread to the Creator, and at the same time, to externally engage in all the necessary work and affairs that are completely unrelated to spirituality. Now I'm preoccupied with thoughts about my work, family, the world, about everything that I have a natural egoistic interest in. But along with this, there should be one more desire in me through the force directed to the Creator, the vector of my aspiration, to reach connection with Him. I have to stretch a thread from my heart to the Creator on the background of my ordinary life. Then on this thread, I need to string the group, the center of the ten, all the systems with which I connect myself with the Creator. I'm more and more tied to the Creator through the ten along with everything that I do in this world. Aspiration is a force emerging from me in the direction of the Creator, a direct vector, my desire to reach Him by the shortest path and touch Him, to make a connection with Him. This thread will turn into a ladder of 125 steps for me inside, of which I will love and reveal spiritual parts of Him and worlds, which is the opportunity to help and develop communication with the Creator quantitatively and qualitatively, expanding the communication channel. The group must create an atmosphere inside, so that everyone is in such a desire. Then, I will remember and return to this work from any state until it becomes a habit. This is a necessary exercise aimed directly at the goal, building a communication channel. The disturbances that lead me astray add to my ego. Returning back with this force, I glue everyone to this thread, strengthening the bond. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, November 18, 2019. Hardening of the heart, an invitation to build a yearning for the Creator. Demand to the Ten. Question: what should the demand to the Ten be in order not to cause harm in the first place? When should it be a request, and when a demand? Answer: if I demand unity from my Ten, even egoistically, so I can be included among them and this is how I receive the influence from the Creator, it works. Give it a try. Here we do not transcend the limits of our egoistic desires, but we see that it works. So demand from your egoistic connection in the ten, no matter what, if only so you can exist in it, in order to forget about yourself, and feel the ten instead. That's all, nothing else is needed. To this extent, you will begin to feel the Creator in your ten. You will discover the clay, vessel, and everything will move from that point. Question: how do I formulate a request, so that it is not a manipulation, but a request? Answer: did you feel any kind of connection at the Congress? Remark: yes. My comment: this is what you strive for. This is your request. You will be unable to formulate it for a long time. Later you might have formulations, not in a sensory form, but in the form of a desire, avvute, screen, masak, reflected light, OHR Hosea, etc., that is, in the form of completely different terms, material and physiotechnical. From Lesson 7, World Kabbalah Convention in Moldova, September 8, 2019, collecting all the states toward the Creator. Media thriving on increasingly egoistic society cabinet. Cabnet published my new article, Media Thriving on Increasingly Egoistic Society. Take a step back, to view human society worldwide as a human body for a moment, and what would you see? You would see its immune system hardly functioning, and the organs that should be forming a unified and healthy body disintegrating. Problems on personal, social, and global scales are on the rise, from depression, stress, loneliness, emptiness, anxiety, xenophobia, drug abuse and suicide, through to income equality, poverty, climate change and natural disasters, and despite countless efforts to deal with these problems, there is an enveloping deeper layer to them all that demands attention. What is that deeper layer? It is none other than the human ego, that is, self-love and self-concern overblown in every organ, bringing about the degeneration of the entire organism. What is that deeper layer? It is none other than the human ego, that is, self-love and self-concern overblown in every organ, bringing about the degeneration of the entire organism. The human ego has undergone a recent growth spurt, reaching record levels. It has detached itself from all previously accepted norms, broken free from law and order, and it cruelly runs over established frameworks. Who can resist the ego when it proudly inflates its chest? What law will block it? What factor can deter it? The media in an egoistic society. The ego has a strong backing, the media. Today, the media, and social media in particular, enjoys widespread influence and power that it never had before. At any given moment, public opinion can be swerved one way or another. With a bag full of cash, you can buy advertising spaces, sponsored posts, and other media slots, slapping whatever you like in front of people's faces. Money can buy fame, and fame can overwhelm everything. Day after day, one washes the other, until all are gradually weakened and surrender, and the awareness of all the organs, the police and the lawyers, the educators and the judges, the leaders and the citizens all fall before the media. Day in and day out, the illness of the body increases, the care for other people lessens, hatred for other people becomes greater, and the cancer eating away at the body of human society proliferates toward the body's death. A positive direction for the media heading into the future. The media around the world needs to be informative and objective, not captive in the hands of people and groups with wealth and power interests. It should know its limits. The media has a role to bring us together, and serve as an instrument designed to connect all organs in a single healthy body. How good would it be, if all different parts of society would sit together, the left and the right, the religious and the secular, representative of all different interest groups and those at the margins of society, and all work together for one boss, the benefit of the public. All their decisions would answer to it and it alone. Every opinion would have its own space, no opinion would be subjugated, and no voice would be silenced. They would sit and discuss in a wide forum, discuss positions with experts, delve into the data, quarrel and make up, until they would reach a common decision and a common message to be disseminated. A new rule would guide their work, publishing news and content that contributes to the public's well-being, which strives to unite human society. No one would have the right to debilitate another opinion, but only to balance it with other positions and guide the varying points toward mutual complementarity. If the media would reach no agreement, then no public announcement would be made. On the other hand, only when the information benefits all would it come out. Such media pluralism would begin the process of healing the illness of a fractured society. A positive direction for leadership heading into the future. However, not only should the media act in unison, but also leadership. If all views seek to complement each other, they would pave a golden path. Representatives of all different sectors of the public would sit around a round table and aim to become a unifying model for today's society. Such leadership would be considered a true democracy, the rule of the people, the rule of the majority, the rule of the elected representation. The essential and decisive stage would be to lead participants to feel unified and to create synergy upon the differing opinions. Precisely when opposites reach mutual acceptance, society reaches a new stage of development. Such leadership is what our global and interconnected world needs today. The introduction of a just and equal rule can make decisions for all, based on the knowledge that they would benefit the entire body. In such a society, there would be no need for a star who would rise today and fall tomorrow, but it would suffice to have a circle of as many diverse opinions as possible. It would be the brain of the body of society, and all would follow it willingly. With such leadership, no one would be asked to give up his or her private opinion. It would remain and be enriched by other diverse and even opposing ideas. The new situation, which would include every possible contradiction, would give birth to a new development, giving everyone an equal place in society. Everyone's unique contribution would be there for all to see. This is the wonder of mutual creation. Just as every cell, organ or system in the human body wisely acts together, To ensure the sustenance and health of the entire body, all opinions would weave together to ultimately benefit the whole body of human society. While it seems like a utopian fantasy to envision the media and society's leadership working in such unification, it is only due to the fact that we haven't yet implemented any method to connect in such a way. The method that can make such positive connection possible rests in the method that Abraham brought to the world some 3,800 years ago, the wisdom of Kabbalah. Just a little effort to look into this wisdom with a fresh mind, and it will soon become evident that there is a method capable of positively connecting human society, both diagnosing the root cause of all modern-day problems, and offering a method to solve them, thereby bringing about a harmonious existence for all. Male and Female, Part 6. What do we see in other people? Question. Today, more and more people can live without a family. However, nobody has completely cancelled the family yet. From the point of view of the perception of reality, Kabbalists advise learning not to see negative qualities in one's spouse that, in fact, do not belong to him or her, but to understand that they are caused by my attitude to him or her. How can we apply this principle in practice? Answer: it is written in many sources that a person sees nothing outside of himself, but his reflection in others. That is, I never see the qualities of another person or even animals, plants, or anything at all. I always see the imprint of my qualities on any object, and especially on the one that is in front of me, that I live with. It is natural. Thus, we need to take this into account. Remark: I do not think that people perceive this naturally. My comment: everyone can agree with this, but they cannot live with this. Theoretically, we all agree. Question: and then what? How can we really approach this? Answer: then it does not work out. Let's put this question aside for now, and later we will see that there is one solution for all these problems. From KabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 31st, 2018. Family and Marriage, Part 11. Signs of the Creator's Revelation. Question: how do we know that the Creator is revealed among us? Are there any specific signs? Answer: when you begin to feel very big opposite shocks, you are thrown from one side to another, you do not understand what is happening to you, are not aware of your next state, this is a sign of progress. The most important state is the descent, when a person feels that he or she has no hope, no clarity, that one is in some kind of a fog. But a person patiently goes through these states, systematically engaging in the group, in everything that Kabbalah speaks of. Several days pass, and the world becomes new. Question: when this power is manifested in a person, what changes in the family? Answer: it is all the same, even greater. A person falls into this world in the exact opposite of the spiritual, which he has already experienced. One did not even imagine that one could fall in such states. But one rises again. Falls again and rises again. As one falls, one scoops another portion of egoism from our world in order to elevate it to correction. From KabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 1st, 2019.